Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, 13-12, and the Texans are 1-1 on the season. This is what J.J. Watt had to say. We'd play the sound, but we're having some technical difficulties right now. Watt said, quote, "The ref literally admitted to me that the guy held me on one play and he didn't throw the flag. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. When after a play, I look over to the ref and he says, yes, I saw him hold you, but I didn't throw the flag, so I'll probably get fined for this, and that's fine. I don't know what to do with that." Clearly frustrated, J.J. Watt, with the lack of holding calls, and you could probably call holding on him on most every play, but there was a particular play or two that really got under his skin on Sunday.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's a clear frustration of a lack of production that's got J.J. Watt a little bit flustered, and rightfully so. Every competitor wants to go out there and have a big-time game. I mean, look, the defense played well. Last week, the defense gave them a chance to win. Here's the deal is the last 2 weeks, of course, it was a very, very difficult plan for J.J. Watt and any of the defensive linemen last week against New Orleans because you're rushing two and three guys a lot. And that makes it really tough and, quite frankly, damn near impossible to produce. Come out this week, and, again, they didn't get to the quarterback. The stat sheet, not blanked, but it's still empty in the sacks in the sack category. And so I believe that it's just a different J.J. Watt that we're seeing. I mean, we've heard J.J. Watt talk about getting tripled and doubled, and it's going to happen, and it's going to happen again, and I'll continue to play hard. And he's done that with a smile on his face. But I think you're 2 weeks into the season of the stats not being there, the opportunities yesterday for this organization to play turn down for what, or turn up for what, whatever, however they do it over there.
Turn down for what?
Right, at the station. You know, that's... That's you know, it's tough to swallow that sometimes. I think JJ's a little bit frustrated with that, and you know, he maybe made some comments that JJ Watt would not typically make after the game yesterday about the referees. I don't believe he'll get fined because
I was just going to ask you that.
Assuming that there's some truth to it. Yeah. I just don't believe that he gets fined simply because if the ref said, "Yeah, I saw him hold you and I didn't throw the flag," I think that would contradict any kind of fine going to the player. So I don't believe he'll get fined, but I think the statements and the comments are coming from a frustration of just not being the productive 99 that he typically is.
It's a good point. It's a good theory. And in terms of getting fined, I just think the fact that he met it at the pass, or sort of met it head on, I think the league office is going to be like, I mean, first of all, J.J. Watt is one of the most beloved athletes in all of America. He is a class act. He is not a guy that is foaming at the mouth after a game like this unless he has a legitimate reason. And what I think that he has done, I don't think he'll be fine. What I think he has done is launched an investigation within the NFL referee group, and I believe it's Al Riveron. I think he's the head of it right now. But I believe that they will say, "Wow, did you see what Watt said? All right, let's take a look at this and watch some of the tape." Yeah, man. I mean, you said it was a hold right there. I think it's actually going to lead to better officiating going forward for the guys that were in zebra stripes on Sunday.
There's no doubt, Rick, that there'll be a spotlight on J.J. Watt being held or not being held moving forward. I mean, I think it accomplished that no matter how you spin this thing, regardless of why, regardless of whether he gets fined or not. On the backside of this thing, there will be a spotlight and there will be extra eyes on whether J.J. Watt gets held or doesn't get held next week versus the Chargers. And so, you know, when you look at this thing and is there a method to the madness? Absolutely. That's it. I mean, whether JJ gets fined or not, he can afford that. That's irrelevant. Ultimately, and I don't know that he was thinking this far ahead he may have just been speaking out of frustration, but ultimately the result of this is going to be fewer holding penalties, not getting called when JJ Watt is rushing a passer.
And I think he did it the right way. I think the NFL is going to go with the flow of that. Bill O'Brien, by the way, spoke to the media earlier today, and he agreed with his man, Watt.
I agree with him. So, you know, we're just going to all work together. And we're going to work hard. We work hard with Al and all the officials. I think the officials are in a tough spot. I think they're great guys. I think they work very hard. But I think the officials are in a tough spot.
Yeah, look, it's a tough game to officiate. There's no doubt about
it. He just made sure that he wouldn't get fired by throwing that last little cherry on top.
They're in a tough spot. It's a tough-ass game to officiate from any referee's perspective. And they get it right a lot more than they get it wrong. And so, I mean, nobody's banging on the job overall. It's just simply that they need to highlight and be more aware of the fact that 99's getting held a lot of times inside, even when they're double-teaming, they're holding him. And so it's definitely something that needs to be spotlighted moving forward.
Is there anything that RAC needs to do to help get J.J. Watt off? Impact the statue more. Yeah, impact hits on the quarterback more.
Look, Rick, as the season grows along, every game unfolds and you go, okay, we did this well and we did this. This was not very good. Let's burn that. Let's throw that in a dumpster, right? And so I think at some point, it's a fine line because you're using J.J. Watt in that up and under, right? So when he comes and if he's lined up to the quarterback's left side, he's going to rush that tackle underneath. He's going to cross that tackle's face. Reader and Blackson, they're going to push that inside of that pocket and give the quarterback nowhere to climb the pocket, nowhere to climb to. And then Whitney's speed rushing over the top, and he catches the quarterback from the backside, okay? That is a play that Dwight Freeney and them boys back in the day in Indy ran to perfection. And when you got a speed rusher like Whitney Mercilus and a power guy like J.J. Watt, it's a very effective game. So what this boils down to is how does RAC look at the game plan and go, okay, we're having a lot of success essentially burying J.J. Watt so Whitney can go eat. Now, how do we now use J.J. Watt and move him around some to get him some time at the dinner table? Let him eat a little every now and then. And it's a fine line, but that's why RAC makes all the money. That's why he's got all the experiences. He's got to find a way to balance those two out. And, I mean, I'll say this again. The game plan week one, when they did lean on the pass rush, which was few and far between, they made hay. I mean they got in and around Drew Brees, flushed him a few times. They didn't go the pass rush route very often. This past week was load the box up, stop the run. If they throw it, go get the quarterback. They were very productive. They had four sacks, I believe. Is that right?
Four. O'Minihue had one, Mercilus had two, and Scarlett had one.
Yeah, so you got some production there. And so it's just a fine line of massaging this thing moving forward and trying to figure out how you use what and how you continue to highlight Whitney Mercilus. And if you can figure out how to use both of them effectively getting after the quarterback, then you're on to something. Not a bad start 2 weeks in, but clearly you got to find a way to get J.J. Watt revved up and get him some action at the dinner table around the quarterback. Now, I'll say this. I hear people talking about moving J.J. Watt around. They moved J.J. Watt from inside to defensive end. They're moving him up and down the line. I don't know if people want to see J.J. Watt standing up in a two-point stance like you saw Clowney last year. I don't know that that's a good thing. I don't know that that's a good use of J.J. Watt. And so it's a little bit, to me, using him inside and out, they're doing a really good job. They've just got to have enough production from somebody else to demand a little bit of attention so that J.J. Watt can get his.
Let's switch to the offensive side of the ball on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. He's the old QB, Clint Sterner, the Baytown Badass. I'm your boy Cam here in the Twin Peaks studios. And I will, this is not a hot take, but I'm going to throw it out there right now. Deshaun Watson, 16 of 29, 159 yards, no TDs. He did have a rushing TD, but only on 5 yards rushing. That will be the worst statistical game that he has all season. That is the bottom. That is the absolute basement for Deshaun Watson. And obviously, Clint, you only put up 13 points. It's a terrific defense from Jacksonville, but no A.J. Boye, no Yannick Ngakoue, and you still are only able to put up 13 points. So are you concerned about this offense's ability to move the ball moving forward starting this week with the Chargers?
No, I'm not concerned about it. I think this is an eye-opener to the Will Fullers, the Kenny Steeles, the Kiki QTs, the Bill O'Briens. I think it's an eye-opener to we got to do more. You got to do more. You got to continue to work. There's a lot of time, I think, particularly when Deshaun Watson has been at quarterback, there's a lot of times that this team has struggled or not won football games, but there have been very few times when you sit in an offensive meeting room and you go, man, we didn't pull our weight. The offense did not pull their weight. You know, that very few times has that been the case since Deshaun Watson has been there. There may have been times when you can say Deshaun turned the ball over a few times and the quarterback could have played it better, or the offensive line could have played better, obviously. But it seems like every week, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, you can look up the stats, but it seems like every week this offense is explosive and scoring points. And so for me, I'm not concerned about this past week, but there's no doubt about it that they go back to the drawing board. It's a little bit of a wake-up call to guys that go, hey, we got to see these guys again down the road. Indy's got a good defense, and I'm not looking at the schedule right now, but there's several good defenses as you run forward here, and guys are going, even the bad ones are going to continue to get better and figure out what they do well and stick to that. And the offense, it's an eye opener. It's you got to go back to work and make sure that you're crossing every T and dotting every I every day at practice, because you never know when you're going to run into a Jacksonville defense on a day when you're not hitting on all cylinders. And then you lean on that hard work. You lean on the situational football. You lean on, long, hard, maybe grinding drives where you typically are an explosive offense. But you got to grind your way 15, 16 plays to get points at the end, and you end up winning those. Big time eye-opener for this offense, but I'm not concerned about their ability to score points and move the rock.
I'm not either. This was one of those weird games, Clint. It was just a weird game. It was a stuck-in-mud game. It was sloppy. Deshaun Watson missed a bunch of throws, and I don't know if it was bad. To me, it looked like bad throws from Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun Watson is an absolute rock star. He had four touchdowns. Let's not forget that. He had four touchdowns against the New Orleans Saints. And, oh, by the way, after the strip sack by Merciless and the recovery by Watt, four plays later, it was Deshaun Watson barreling into the end zone, putting his body in harm's way, and just toughing it out. We talked last week about that David Johnson run in week one where he just ran out of bounds when he should have dove to the pylon for the touchdown. You got to want it, man. They don't give you touchdowns in the NFL. You got to go get that sucker. And Watson diving in there, that was a huge play and a huge courageous play for him.
Yeah, that was a big-time play call and a big-time execution for Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's to me that when it happened, you didn't realize it, but clearly – looking back, that's the game. That's the call in the game, in the play that won the game. I mean, you won by 1 point, and you went for it on fourth down earlier in the game and scored a touchdown. I mean, so that's the play call, and that's the execution that ended up winning this game on the offensive side of the football. Now, obviously, Justin Reed's stop on and the defense's stop to actually end the game was the one that's going to be spotlighted. But that fourth down quarterback run for a touchdown was the game winner for the Houston Texans.
And let's go ahead and give Bill O'Brien some credit, right? I mean, as we continued, and we'll get back to the clock mismanagement at the end of the first half, but let's give B.O.B. some credit, man. Going forward on fourth down right there was absolutely the right call. You're on the doorstep. You haven't been moving the ball. You got to give it a shot to score a touchdown there. And through the greatness of Deshaun Watson, they got home on that one. The Texans have found their bell cow back, who was on a mission. You'll hear from him. We'll talk about him next on Clint and Kamla.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.